Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to Kevin's Barbecue Joints Podcast. This one's killer. It's with Saul Ramos from 2M Smokehouse. And the last time we talked on camera was about 5 years ago, and a lot has changed since then. But specifically, I want to talk to him about their new location, which is opening up in Castroville around August of 2023-ish. And then a month or two before, his wife, Chef Garcia Ramos, is opening up Baked, and that's going to be right next door. And so he explains how this came about, all about this location. I'm not going to go into any detail at all other than the fact that it's going to be awesome, it's going to be big, and it's not going to be called 2M. And he goes into the reasoning behind that and what they plan on offering and the potential for something above this location. And so that's kind of the meat, so to speak, of the interview. But we do talk about the two James Beard nominations. We get into his favorite locations for food that's not his restaurant. Breakfast, Tex-Mex, steaks, burgers, lots of different things. So this is kind of cool. Like at the very end, we kind of go over a bunch of different locations that are his favorite spots. And then also something new I didn't even know about was the fact that they have a food truck. And so we talk about that a little bit and how that's going to be changing as well. Talking to him is always wonderful. He's laughing all the time. It's just a great, great conversation. I cherish my friendship with him. I know you're going to get a lot out of this. And definitely, if you haven't been to 2M Smokehouse, there's going to be photos if you're watching on the YouTube side at the beginning of this. Their food is exceptional and their dessert offerings are exceptional. You have to put them on the list of a place to visit. If you're staying in Austin, it's not too far away to come down. They're open Thursday through Sunday. I can't thank him enough for taking the time. I do appreciate the hard work and effort that he and his team are putting on a daily basis. So remember to stay safe and visit your local barbecue joint. Good morning. Is it Saul or?
Yeah, Saul. It's Saul.
Mm-hmm. I think I've always, but how do people pronounce it? Wait, Saul.
I've heard every rendition of my name you could possibly ever think of, man.
If you were going to say your own name personally, you'd say Saul, right?
Saul, yeah.
But you with a better emphasis on the S.
That's it. That's the only difference. But other than that, that's as close as it. That's perfect, man.
Yeah, and there's one S, not two.
Yes, one S.
All right, cool. Well, how are you doing today? How is your headspace right now?
Headspace is good right now. I mean, it's the way it always is, right? It's full of junk and then full of stress and then you know it's just it's a ball of controlled chaos, but not really controlled at all.
Exactly. Well, it's hard to imagine. I was talking off camera. It's hard to imagine. It's been 5 years since we spoke and a lot has changed, but also it almost seems like you're the same person. It doesn't seem like you've aged. I'm sure you've aged internally. And, but how has it been these last 5 years?
What's up, Kevin?
Yeah, I know. There's 40 questions in there, right?
I would say, these past 5 years have been, It's been a really, really fun journey, man. Everything that we've accomplished, everything that we've gone through, new things that we've brought in, just things like that. It's been a treat for sure. Past 5 years have been good, man. It's been a heck of a journey, but COVID, obviously, like everybody else, it was a pain in the ass. But we just did what we could do, and that was just to not stop grinding, right? We didn't close down not one day. We just pretty much kept shop going. We became like a little store as well, you know what I mean? Like a little community store.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
The community would come. Nobody wanted to wait in those lines at HEB, and I don't blame them. Just so they could tell you like, you're only limited one, or we're out of this. So that was really cool. But for the most part, man, we just kept moving. We just kept doing what it is that we knew we had to do. For small businesses, you can't stop. Like, we would have been done.
Was there ever a moment? Did you ever look at each other or Joe? Did you ever think that this isn't going to happen? Or was that never a part of your mindset? Like, we have people who are working for us. This is our business. We're just going to do this.
Yeah, it never, in my mind. And I know, and I can speak for Joe in this case is that, that never did go through our heads. We rounded up our staff. We pretty much sat them down and we just said, hey, we're not going to close down. We're going to go to drive-through and curbside only. We can monitor everybody that comes in and then we could just go about it like that. Whoever doesn't feel comfortable is more than welcome to go home. And you guys are more than welcome to come back whenever you feel safe. Nobody left. Everybody just kind of hung in there and everybody was like, yeah, that's fine. You know, let's make this happen. We just push forward.
Were you having trouble getting, because it's hard to remember what it was like during that time. Were you having trouble getting proteins?
Yeah. So, well, thankfully we were locked into Heartbrand and Heartbrand isn't as big as the other guys. So they just kind of pretty much locked us in. And no matter what, they supplied us with what it is that we needed. From there, we were because briskets were astronomical.
Yeah.
Right. So thankfully they were amazing enough to keep us at the price that we were paying, but whatever we couldn't substitute, they were only able to supply us with X amount. Once gotcha. We reached that X amount, I had to find the other briskets elsewhere. But everybody was at like almost $9 a pound during that time. So I just told Joe, you know what? Let's look up. We found this company out of California. I can't think of the name of it right now. They were selling Wagyu briskets for a little under $9. And I was like, whoa, why the hell do we have to buy prime for? Let's just buy Wagyu. We're already paying Wagyu prices. So we started supplementing with those guys. So they would come in and they would bring a truckload and stuff like that. So that was, it got kind of wonky, but we made it work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it seemed like, I remember all the drive-through stuff and people, like it just seemed like it was a process that you guys were able to navigate properly. And at what point during this journey, the last 5 years, when we first spoke, Grecia wasn't making the kind of desserts that she's making today. She's evolved so much, and her desserts just look fat. Like, I'm going to put a link below. I have a blog post with 50 or 60 plus desserts that she's made. But what was, do you remember the moment, like at the beginning, what was your dessert menu? And then do you remember when that shifted and changed?
Yeah. So how that all went about is when we opened up 2M, there was only four of us, right? So my wife was working two jobs at the time while I was able to get 2M going. Joe was working his full-time job because I wasn't gonna tell him to leave his job. The guy has a full-blown family. I was like, let's get closer to opening date. So when we opened up, it was me, Joe, my wife, and my sister. And my wife was, she was a cashier. So she was doing that. And every now and then she would make tres leches cakes for people, like somebody had a birthday or whatever. So she would make them. So I told her, I was like, hey, why don't you start making those for 2M and we can sell them at 2M. And I go, and then you can make rotating flavors. And I remember she was like, well, I guess I could figure out how to pull away from the traditional tres leches. And I was like, yeah, just make whatever flavors you want. So then that's pretty much how that started. And then from there, it kind of, you know, she was already into baking, but that kind of just sparked another spark in her and kind of just sent her above the top. And then she started making more and more. And then from there, we sat down one day and she was like, hey, I think I want to go to culinary school. I think I want to hone this a little more. And I was like, well, let's figure it out. And we did. And we were able to, yeah, we were able to send her to culinary school and stuff. So she went over there, and that's where she kind of started. That's where her creativity kind of really started to pick up more.
Yeah.
And she was able to learn more techniques and see that, you know, the world of desserts is more than just, I don't know, banana pudding.
And what she's putting out now is just, it's mind blowing. It really is, for a barbecue spot. And then what she's going to be doing with her own standalone place, which is still a little secretive, which is awesome, which I love that. But it's interesting because what you're offering, people do come, a lot of people come for desserts only, right?
Yeah. So you'd be surprised, man. Some people just come solely for desserts.
Which is weird.
No barbecue. All right. That's cool.
And so she always has tarts, right? There's always tarts. There's always the
cheesecakes. She always has tarts, cheesecakes, entremets. She'll mess around with chocolates at times. She makes cookies. And then every now and then, whenever she wants to destroy her hands, she'll work on lamination.
Meaning what? What would that
so
be
like for? So like rolling, like croissants, like danishes, like you know, anything that requires lamination. At her new place, it'll be better. She'll have an actual laminator. But at 2M, I don't have a laminator for her, so she has to. Whenever she wants to destroy those hands more.
Wow, that's crazy. And also the Pop-Tarts too. And the Pop-Tarts are because of you, right?
Yeah, there's this place in town. So I love Pop-Tarts, but there's this place in town. And they have a Pop-Tart that I really like. So every day when she would get out of school, because the bake shop is literally right next to the CIA. So I would tell her, I'd be like, hey, I'm on my way to pick you up. Grab me a Pop-Tart. And she'd be like, all right. And then so she'd get me one. And then I'd eat it. And she'd be like, what do you like about that Pop-Tart so much? And I'm like, it's fucking good, you know? And then she'd be like, well, I'm going to make you a Pop-Tart. And I was like, all right. Like, so she does. And then, you know, she'll make me some. And she's still working on it to this day. And she'll be like, what do you think? And I'm like, yeah, it's good. And she's like, is it better? And I'm like, I mean, yeah, it's good, you know?
I think she mentioned that too during her talk, that her dream is to make a Pop-Tart that you love, that you love better than that Pop-Tart, which is so funny. Were you getting Pop-Tarts? Like, you were getting Pop-Tarts as a kid, right? From like the packaged ones at first.
Yeah. I don't like to toast them though. I just like to eat them straight out of the, you know.
I don't like to toast them either.
It changes the flavor.
It does. It adjusts it. Hey, it's a different taste. And also, how did you find that place had Pop-Tarts? Like, is that a common thing in San Antonio that places have Pop-Tarts?
No, but you know, we'll go to little coffee shops here and there, so they'll have some Pop-Tarts sometimes. It was this particular pastry shop. And we wanted to go get some macaroons, and they just happened to have Pop-Tarts. And I was like, oh, I'm going to grab a Pop-Tart real quick. And then I ate it, and I was like, oh, this shit's good.
There's no place. I've never seen a place out here. And I think I did see Miller's has Pop-Tarts now, too.
Oh, do they really? Miller's is good, man.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think I saw two different ones that they had made, but it wasn't – I think you had done – but, you know, anybody can make Pop-Tarts if they want. They're far enough away from you, too.
Anybody can make anything. It's just a matter of whether it's good or not.
Whether it's good or not. Yeah. I'm saying anybody can try. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like it's, you guys don't own the market on Pop-Tarts. That's what I'm saying. But it's also like, obviously, like, you know, she's really great at what she does, but she still hasn't made the Pop-Tart that has melted your heart yet. So it's, you know, it takes a lot of effort.
It takes work. Yeah. Other than that, though, man, a lot of her pastries are really, really great. Her flavor profiles are really cool. That's what I really like. Is that she kind of thinks outside the box, and she'll blend flavors that you don't think are supposed to be blended, but she does a great job with them.
So just for people to know, her place that she's opening, is it going to, do you think that'll be this year?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's in Castroville, right?
Yeah, it'll be in Castroville. So it'll be right next to us. So it's 2M on the corner, and then she's literally right next to us. And she'll open up maybe a month or two before us. And I want to say we're projected for August, and she's probably June or July.
Oh, wow. So it is. It's just around the corner.
It's just around the corner. Stress out about it. Not as much as I should, but.
Seems like you internalize a lot. Well, no. So Castroville is wet. If I'm thinking right, it's west of San Antonio, right? It's about.
Yeah, it's like it's like southwest.
Oh, southwest. Okay. Is it on the way to Uvalde? Is that if people...
Yeah. So it's Castroville and then Hondo and then Uvalde, I believe.
Okay.
If I have that correct.
How did Castroville come up for her? And then were you always thinking about a second location?
So I have always been thinking about a second location. I just didn't want to open up another second location in Texas. That was never my goal. And I kind of always wanted to leave 2M. So like this new place won't be called 2M. Oh. Yeah. 2M will only be in San Antonio. It's kind of how I always envisioned it. Just staying the way that it is, nice and small, and just focusing on what it is that we focus there. But since it came about, we were like, all right, let's give it a shot. So pretty much what happened was these guys approached us. They hit up Joe on an email and they were like, hey, we're a group and we're buying some properties in Castroville. So all these people are from Castroville.
Okay.
And, they kind of got together. They started buying some stuff in Castroville and just kind of preserving certain little places there in their town. And they wanted to bring in some new flavors, some new talent, I guess. So they hit us up, and this went on for probably a year, just figuring out if we were a good match, figuring out, you know, if what they're telling us wasn't all BS, and you know, just doing your due diligence and all that good jazz. So then from there, turned out, yeah, you know, it was a it's a really sweet deal. It's something that me and Joe can definitely live with. And the plan in the beginning was to, so we're taking over this old meat market. It's called Dan's Meat Market. And pretty much they used to slaughter cows there and all that good stuff and sell meat. There used to be a bar in there as well. So we're taking over that whole entire thing. I think it's about 5,000 square feet.
That's decent size.
That's more than enough. I think it seats maybe 250 people, I want to say. So big project, but you know, we'll figure it out. But either way, so everything went the way it was supposed to go. And our agreement in the beginning was they were going to build her a bake shop inside of that restaurant. That was the first proposal, because I had told him, I was like, well, look, if we're going to move over here, if we're going to bring our business, my wife is our pastry chef right now, and I would love for her to have a spot inside of that restaurant as well. So they said, yeah. So we started working on it and stuff. They started drawing the whole thing out. One of the guys in there was like, no, scratch the whole entire thing. I want her to have her own standalone in this. It's just a little section between our building and the building next to us. And they're like, we could wedge a building right in here and we could make that our bake shop. I was like, well, you know, that's something you got to talk to her about. So they did. And they came up with, everything. And lo and behold, that's how Bait came about.
Wow. And Bait, for people that might not have heard our interview, Baked is going to be a different concept than what's that 2M. 2M will have its own specific desserts. There might be some crossover, but it's a different spot.
Yes, absolutely. What Baked's going to be doing is only going to be for Baked. And then Baked's going to also make our desserts for 2M and then desserts for Casherville as well. So whatever we have at 2M, you can't get at Baked and vice versa.
Yeah. Which is nice. I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah. I like it too. There's some desserts that are just staples at 2M now that people come for specifically that I would hate to get rid of. Not only that, but it's also nice to know that you can only get these at 2M.
It makes it special.
It does.
Yeah. But so then this concept, how much, so is this going to be like a breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a lunch, dinner place? Or how are you even talking? Like, it's going to be different. Do you even know the name yet?
No. So we have a couple names floating around right now. We have like three names floating around right now. Cool. As soon as we submit one, I will let you know.
Okay. Thank you. So it's going to be a different name, but it'll be connected. Yes. And it's also going to be a different concept, but it's going to be barbecue.
Yeah, it'll all be barbecue. Obviously the main focus is barbecue, but now I have an amazing kitchen with so much fun equipment in there that we can have a good time with. The smokehouse is going to be traditional. We'll have 2,000 gallons that Syntex is going to be building for us.
Nice.
We have an M&M coming in, and then other small little goodies that I've been talking to Mike from Syntex about that I think if we can wedge in there, I think it'll be really, really cool.
The M&M will be the rotisserie, right?
The M&M will be the rotisserie. It's the biggest one they have. So I'm really excited about that. We have I have a sausage room, so I can create a whole new sausage program.
That's ideal.
And I have I have a sausage room that's like the sausage room of my dreams. So it's really, really cool. The people that end up, you know, working the sausage room, it's not going to be the same as it is in 2M right now. So that'll be a lot nicer. The kitchen's going to be great. So we're not going to do breakfast. The bake shop's going to be open for breakfast and stuff. We're going to be open for lunch and dinner.
And we'll be like a 5-6 days a week kind of thing.
We're thinking 6 days a week. It's an operation.
Yeah, it sounds like an operation. What is Casherville like?
Ooh, it's a small little German Czech town. Man, it's just a quiet little town, to be honest with you. Super quiet little town. We used to go all the time when I was a kid. They have a park over there. They have Casherville Park. So we used to go out there all the time and have family barbecues. We used to jump in the pool out there. They have a public pool and things like that. That's all I remember about Casherville growing up. Other than that, I never envisioned myself opening up in Casherville. But to be honest with you, I think opening up in a small little town, especially right now at Casherville, getting ready to boom, there's a ton of people going out there and it's growing insanely rapidly.
That makes
sense. Yeah. So for us to be able to be going out there right now, we're really looking forward to that. So I think the quiet little town isn't going to be so quiet anymore.
Yeah, I know. Do they have any idea what's
going on? I don't even want to think about it. Those people are going to be so pissed.
I know, they're like, our small town, all these people coming. Just no, but also too, it'll be nice for them, and there'll be times when there's not a line of people. It'll be a great little thing for them. Is there like something that, because Grecia was talking about, are you going to eventually have like a bed and breakfast or something?
Maybe not a, well, okay, so at the top of Dan's Meat Market is an apartment complex. I shouldn't say apartment complex. It's just a small little apartment. It's a 2-bedroom. It's got a kitchen. It has everything. So one of those bedrooms we're gonna cut off, and I think we might make into maybe a podcast studio or something. The other room is just to go sleep in and stuff. I think we might just clean it up a little bit and then make it livable, either for somebody that I want to hire or to maybe start a bed and breakfast later on.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. So then a podcast studio. That's interesting. So is that, are you offering me a spot? No.
Absolutely. Anytime.
No, you have anytime I want to visit to podcasting Casherville. Wow, that's really exciting. How do you feel about that? And how are you going to be able to juggle that? Do you have a staff that you've already started to consider for?
No,
that?
So no staff yet. We have a lot of people that have brought in their resumes already that are very interested that we're going to start vetting here soon. as far as the hiring process goes, I kind of left that up to Joe more or less when it is that he wants to start bringing him in.
Okay.
But there are certain people that I want to have key roles for. So those people are going to be the ones in charge of those departments and things like that. And then after that, just kind of bringing in hands to do everything that they need to do, and then have the right people overlooking things that need to be overlooked. That's my plan, right? Yeah. Is it going to go that way? Who knows? Only time will tell. But for the most part, I guess at this point in our lives or whatever, doing everything that we've done and learning everything that we've learned, it's just 2M on steroids.
That's great. Are you excited?
Very excited, actually. I mean, I'm super stressed, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, it's no stress that I don't already have in my life. So, you know, it's just a matter of finding people and putting them in the positions that they're going to be happy in, and then just running that business to the best of its capabilities.
And this one isn't like a surprise like it was with 2M, like to Grecia. Like, it was not like, you're not, because I think I remember in our discussion, he's like, oh, well, I found a place, and it's going to be, this is like a group effort amongst all you guys. And it's something that you guys, I think it's smart too. That was a very smart decision. Not that I need to tell you, but that you guys took a year to kind of mull it over, you and Joe, like to talk and they kind of figure it out, kind of, because there's a lot of people, I'm sure, that come with offers all the time for every restaurant that's doing well.
We've had, to answer your first question, yes, it's a lot nicer now, right? Because it was a group effort. We know what it is that we're getting into. We know what type of building we're going into. Everything that we need will be there. But as far as other people approaching us, you'd be surprised. And I'm pretty sure that this happens to a lot of places. And it's like, you know, people just come with a bunch of money and they just want to take everything that they can. And sometimes it's not a good fit. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And some people jump and some people, and for us, we were like, no, let's take some time. Let's really understand and get to know who it is that we're getting into bed with and put our reputation on the line, really. So after much consideration, you know, it was a good fit. It's nice. We like it. And we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for you. And I wanted to know, because I'm going to put photos at the beginning of this. And also I have a blog piece that's just like 50 plus photos or 100 photos of 2M product. How was there a moment where, because the food that you put out at the very beginning, it's evolved and you've gotten better. And was there a moment where you realized we're really putting out great product? And like this, I know you're a humble guy, but it's, what do you think that switched in your head, or what switched in your process? Because I'm sure there's people that are watching that, like, they're like, I can't get to that certain level of barbecue. Was there something, because I know you worked a lot of barbecue. I remember that. And like, so the, right. what was the moment, do you think, or is that an odd question to even ask, or even something to.
No, it's not an odd question at all. I thought I answered that. I guess just practice, right? So like, you do something so often that it's either going to get better or it's going to stay the same or it's going to get shittier, right? And for me, I would look at these other people and I'm like, okay, how do I get to that point? You know, so us and the staff, really, because it's not just me, right? So like us and the staff, we kind of just put our heads together and just kind of do the best that we can and make things come out the way that we want them to, aesthetically wise, how macaroni's supposed to look, how ribs should look, how turkey's supposed to look. And I think we figured out that we accomplished that when people stopped complimenting our brisket and started complimenting everything else.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Briskets, man. This is Texas, right? You're going to find great brisket almost anywhere. You're going to find a lot of crappy brisket here as well, exactly. But you're going to find great brisket almost anywhere, right? But it's the overall platter that to me really stands out. So it's like, what can I do to my pulled pork that, you know, sets it apart from somebody else's pulled pork? How my ribs should look. That, and to be honest, man, taking your time. Like, barbecue is really lonely and it's really long and it's really labor intensive. And we just want to get this shit over and done with sometimes, right? And it's, I guess it's knowing how to tell yourself no, just kind of kick back a minute. And if you just give it a little bit more, you'll get better results. You know what I mean? That, and then doing it so much, man, you kind of start learning where it is you can, like, speed it up here, slow it down here. You know, don't do this anymore. Let's do this, and we're going to get the same result, if not better.
No, it sounds like that you're being deliberate about it. I think certain people get to a certain point where maybe they've given up on, like, continually trying to improve. It seems like you're... it's important to you guys. And, you know, now that it's kind of like James Beard season, And I was curious. It's weird to say that.
James Beard season.
It seems like people are getting nominated and stuff. You know, it's that early time. What was that like? And what is, like, how does that work? Do they come visit you? Like, how do you
okay.
even know how that works?
This is how James Beard works. Yeah. This is how it's worked for me the two times that we were nominated. I get a phone call, and then someone goes, "Hey, congratulations." And I go, "On what?" And then they go, "You made James Beard." And I said, "Oh, shit, that's cool." And that's it.
That was it. Did you make it to the second round, or was it just a?
No. So both times we only made it to the first round. Haven't made it to the second round. Maybe one day if we get back on that list. But I mean, look, man, just the fact that we were even nominated the first time, that was huge, right? So James Beard doesn't come to you. They don't tell you. They don't introduce themselves like, "Hello, we're James Beard," whatever. No, it wasn't like that at all. I don't know when they came. I don't know. I really don't know the whole entire process of how it goes down. I know somebody nominated us. I really did just get a phone call from one of my buddies here in town, who's a phenomenal chef. And he called me, and he was the first person to congratulate me. And I had no idea why. And he told me, he was like, "Dude, you made James Beard." And I was like, wow. Like, I remember putting the phone down. I looked at Joe and I was like, look, man, I was like, I don't know how much you know about James Beard or not. I was like, but we just got nominated for him. And I kind of told the whole entire staff. So that was huge. Nice. And then we got it a second time. And that was, you know, it's, I mean, dude, just the fact that we've been able to accomplish so many accolades, and, you know, a lot of them that we set out to try and get, and then a lot that we never expected to ever get, has just been amazing.
And not everyone has in their mind had San Antonio as a barbecue destination a while back. Now it's starting to, people are pop, like, you know, there's additional barbecue spots.
Yeah, well, not only that, right, but there's also there's a lot of amazing there's a great culinary scene here in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you go to Houston and things like that, like, it's way more diverse. And for San Antonio being San Antonio, if people really took the time, the gems that we have in this city are by far some of the best. And I'd put them up against anybody in any city. I think we have a really good thing going on. And now, fast forward to 2024, from when we first opened, it's just gotten even more insane.
Yeah. Can you name a couple places that people could also visit when they come down to 2M?
Absolutely. One of my most favorite places to go eat at is Attaboy's. So if you're ever in the Southtown area, I mean, No. He's in the St. Mary's area. If you're in the St. Mary's area, go to Attaboy's. Attaboy's number one. El Pastor es mi señor. They have the best al pastor in the city. Well, hang on. So we have two types of al pastor in San Antonio. We have flat top al pastor and we have trompo al pastor, right? And they have the best trompo al pastor in the city by far. La Maceta has the best tapatillos in this city. So you should definitely go there. What are tapatillos? They're like little flauta. They're like tortilla road, like tiny, like road, super small and tight. And then they have like a ranchero one, and they have one that they just put like cabbage and spices on and their salsa and stuff.
But do phenomenal. Do people call them taquitos? Is that what people call that?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Some people do call them taquitos, but they call them tapatillos. But yeah. No,
there's a place in downtown LA, or kind of by the Union Station, that's thick tapatio. It's a tapatio place, but it's like what I would call in San Diego taquitos, even though that's a very white guy way of saying it.
No. I mean, dude, it happens here as well, right?
The flautas are larger,
for right? sure. But yeah, man, places like that. If you want really good Chinese, TK Teriyaki, some of the best Chinese in the city, I would say. And then, of course, you know, you get fancier and things like that. Steakhouses in San Antonio are good, but they kind of lack in flavor sometimes. There's a couple of good steakhouses if you wanted to go to a steakhouse. Chamagaucha is good, which is a Brazilian steakhouse. You know what I mean? I just like them because they actually put salt in their meat. And people are going to laugh, but I don't care. Texas Roadhouse has some of the best steaks in San Antonio. I ain't fucking lying. That's sad to say, but it's like,
what can you do? That's not, if it is what it is, that's what it is, right?
It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. But what is Attaboy? Is that burgers?
No. So he has two spots. He has Attagirl who does burgers, fried chicken, things like that. But Attaboy's, he's more catered to like, it's like a little French bistro, mm-hmm. right? And it's like a brunch and champagne. But dude, his fucking eggs are some of the, they're the most amazing eggs I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yeah, his eggs are phenomenal. He does escargot. That's just great. He does steak and eggs. His steak is great. His steak is great. Everything that I've ever had at Attaboy's has been a home run for me.
Wow.
I know a lot of people go there for the burger, like, cause he has a burger on the menu, but I always tell them, don't play it safe there. Like, get anything else, but the burger's great, but everything else is phenomenal.
Wow. That's really cool. Where do you go for a greasy burger?
Oh yeah, man. I recently started, going to Diana's Burgers, and I think that Diana's Burgers has a really good burger, but the best burger in this city, we'll probably have to go to Last Place Burgers.
Last Place Burgers? Where's that at?
Yeah. So Last Place Burger, it's out of a truck. They're in a bar called Roadmap right now, and that's their permanent spot for now. If you can get one of his burgers, you won't be disappointed. It's the best burger in the city. Diana's Burger is more like what San Antonio is accustomed to. Like, San Antonio likes big burgers, right? Because we're all big. So like big burgers, cheesy, you know, big bun. Like, people want to be like, this is worth my money, you know? Last Place Burger, it's a little smaller the way a burger should be, and it's catered more to just that burger and like the flavor profile of that burger.
Okay, cool.
So that is my favorite burger in the city. But if I want a big, juicy, messy burger, I go to Dan's.
Ah, that's awesome. That's cool. Is there an awesome breakfast place? This is like the tour of San Antonio, but I'm just curious.
No, you're good.
I trust your judgment. So just for people, because they, you know, people are traveling down and they could stay a couple of days and then visit you a couple of days. And when you have Castroville, that'll be great.
For sure, man. Anything to help out any place here as well. For breakfast, so trying to think. Attaboy's is a breakfast spot as well. So Attaboy's is great for breakfast too.
Like a place people get pancakes, waffles, like that. There's little, because a lot of breakfast places.
Dude, Attaboy's has my favorite pancakes right now.
So I was like, Attaboy's.
Damn it, Attaboy's. Attaboy's has my favorite pancakes. They're thin, they're crispy. We do a lot of like breakfast tacos sometimes. Like, if I'm going to do breakfast, we'll do breakfast tacos. I will say this though, if you want a good Tex-Mex spot, Lala's Gorditas is probably my favorite Tex-Mex in the city.
Okay, cool.
So if you look for Tex-Mex, yeah. And that, like, people have a miss, like, oh, Mexican food and Tex-Mex. Like, no, it's two different cuisines.
Completely. And
completely
Tex-Mex,
different.
And Tex-Mex in Texas is different than what you've had across the United States. If you've just had Tex-Mex at like Chili's or like a random place, like, it's different. It's better. It's so much better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's different. It's its own thing. You know, from like gorditas to puffy tacos to enchiladas made different, to ground beef, just everything that they do, really. Just all the flavor profiles of it.
Yeah. And Mexican food in Texas is different than Mexican food in California. It's nice. It's that's what makes that, I think that's what makes Texas special. It's like they've been able to pull people and been able to pull the regional specialties. I don't know. There's something different.
No, man. I always tell people, if you come to Texas and Mexican food, Tex-Mex food is what you're after, you have to come to San Antonio. You got to come to San Antonio, or you got to go further south to the Valley or something. You know, Austin, Houston, Dallas, they don't hold a candle to what we have further down south.
Yeah. Is there a barbecue place that's on your list that you want to go to, that you've seen, that you're interested in, either in the United States, like somewhere outside of Texas or in Texas?
Yeah, there's a couple barbecue restaurants I really want to go to. One of them is Mimsy's. They keep, he just keeps putting out this killer, this killer food that just looks really good. I'm like, I really want to go over there.
Have you been to Burnt Bean yet?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I haven't seen, yeah. I don't stalk you. So I don't know.
No, you're good. Ernest is about 40 minutes from the restaurant, I want to say. And we used to go every Sunday.
That's right. It is down that. Okay,
yeah. Yeah. It's just a hop and a skip away. So, me and Joe would try and go down there every Sunday, and then we had a slow time, so it was kind of nice. So we would just go and catch his breakfast every Sunday, and then after that, it started getting too crazy for him, and it started getting too crazy for us, and we were just like, we'll just go whenever we get a chance. Yeah. But Burnt Bean, I've already been there. But as far as like places I really want to go to, I would say Mimsy's is one of them, and
Reese Bro.
Man, the Reese Bro guys. Dude, those kids are great. I think what they're doing is phenomenal. I think they're killing it. And I love seeing more of that, right? Like, a lot of people always, the city's so big. And the more great barbecue we can bring into the city, yeah, the more it just showcases all of us, right? And it's business for everybody, and it's good for everybody. And we've kind of already paved the way so that people kind of know this is what we can do in San Antonio. This is what we can get away with.
That works, like, yeah.
This is what works. And don't get me wrong, man. San Antonio's tough, dude. San Antonio's tough. I've lived here my whole life, and it's
and why is it tough? Is it tough because it's a finicky?
So San Antonio is that city, right? Like, and I can attest to it because I'm from here. We don't. San Antonio doesn't like waiting in lines. San Antonio wants things when they want it. So like when we first opened up, we had to re-educate everybody and kind of like, well, no, we sell out of food. We only make a certain amount. And to people, they're always like, just make more.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, that, and then of course, you know, we charge a premium for everything that we do, and you know, in the beginning, we used to get a lot of slack for it, and they would always compare us to steakhouses. They'd be like, "Well, you're not like a steakhouse," and I'm like, "No, I wish I was like a steakhouse. like we do way more work than a steakhouse has to do. Like it's gonna take you 15 minutes to make that steak. It's gonna take me 16 hours to make this brisket. Yes. You know." And it's like, so just figuring that stuff out still to this day, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, man, our community there where 2M is that they've really come together and they've really supported us through all these years and things like that. And at the end of the day, whether it is a tough city to be in, I wouldn't have wanted to open up anywhere else.
Yeah. No, it seems like it was ideal. If you're coming to, say, someone's in downtown San Antonio, where are you guys located?
We are east. So we're east of downtown.
Okay.
On a good day, 15, 17 minutes tops. On a day with some traffic, you're looking at maybe about 25 minutes.
Okay. That's not bad at all.
No.
And then how far from where you are to Castroville?
From 2M to Castroville, yeah, you're looking at maybe 40, 45 minutes.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Now, is there lodging in Castroville, or would you recommend someone stay if they like when this is, because someone could be watching this in August potentially or something, would you stay in San Antonio then visit Castroville? Are there places along the way?
I would probably stay in San Antonio.
Okay. All right.
Unless you want to come out and check out the little town, stuff like that, get away from the city, come somewhere that it's quiet. Then I would definitely recommend Castroville. Not only that, but it's growing. There's more things opening up.
So in a year from now, there could be, you know, additional like bed and breakfasts and small
boutique
motels and things. And
they have a whole plan for that and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just going to keep growing. It's just going to keep getting better. But if you're looking to just come out and get some pastries and barbecue and walk around a little bit, head back, I would just say stay in San Antonio. You'll be fine.
That's cool.
Now, traffic does get pretty crazy going out to Castroville. I will say that.
Really?
Yeah, man. Traffic gets bad going out there.
Like LA traffic?
Like 5 o'clock. Like, 5 o'clock comes, man, you're gonna be in traffic.
Yeah. But
like, well, I mean, I know for you guys.
I don't even know. I know. Because like it could take two hours to get like 20 miles here. Which is so
that makes
sad.
You want to cry.
It does.
Also being in San Antonio and being here my whole life, it's like I've slowly seen it progress to where traffic used to start at 6 and now it starts at 3. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, also two people, like even with the pandemic, people's hours are so weird now. Like I noticed in LA, there were times where there weren't traffic. Now, like at 4 in the morning, there could be traffic or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah. I think it's because people adjust their schedules and you get enough humans and then it just messes things up. I wish COVID killed all the cars or something like that, or half of them, like a Thanos, like wiped them out. That was, I was hoping like it would somehow would get to the cars too, and that it would just, because it's just seriously, it hasn't changed. I thought that we'd, or people would leave big cities after COVID, but it's still,
Well, you know what, man? It's I've always wanted to just get away. Like, I love the city. Don't get me wrong, but it's the older you get, it's to the point where I'm like, I'm kind of over, all this tightness and everybody just, you know, being here and stuff like that. When COVID first happened and we would go to work, it was like us, because I would grab the wife and we'd take off. And man, dude, I would leave the house. If I had to be there later on in the day, I could leave the house at 7 a.m. And I think it was us and maybe two other cars on the road.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I was like, this is nice.
I know.
This is nice.
We drive places like go to downtown. You get there in like 25 minutes from like from here where I am until L.A. And I thought this is like the 70s. It's like it's
It's so nice.
the stories I
Well,
used to hear.
not only that, man, but like I know a lot of people were like, you gotta stay indoors and you don't go anywhere and this and that. Well, I went everywhere I could that was open,
Yeah.
right? And I remember one time I was talking to a buddy of mine and he was like, how could you be doing that? And I'm like, it's the cleanest it's
Yeah.
ever been, ever, dude. Like
I
doesn't
know.
matter where you go, it's gonna be just as clean as your house, if not cleaner.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
And
you know
people
what I
are
mean?
washing their hands for real. Like it's
Dude,
tough.
we had a timer. Not that we don't, right?
Yeah.
This is like we're already washing our hands, but like at 2 a.m. we just started setting the timer. Like every, I think it was every 30 minutes, like it would go off, everybody would stop, everybody would wash their hands, you know, take off gloves, put new
Clean it,
gloves
yeah.
on, and then go back into action, right? And it was nice because there was nobody in the restaurant, so we were able to do that. But yeah, man, I mean,
That's a
it was
good point. I
wonky
didn't think about
times.
that. Yeah.
But it was the cleanest it was ever going to be, man. Anywhere,
Yeah.
everywhere,
Yeah.
because people wanted you to come to their establishments, right? Like, because there was a lot of people that couldn't shut down, so it's like, what can I do to still make it appetizing for people to come?
Yeah, and that you knew, like we weren't sure what was the safe route to do it, but everyone tried above and beyond everything they possibly could do to stay clean and
Dude.
safe. And yeah.
Dude, the I mean everybody I mean there were some guys I'm like, dude, you should have an engineering degree, bro. The shit you guys are coming up with, man. Like, I had a
Know.
buddy of mine and he rigged up this whole entire system to where you would walk in to his place, it would spray you with like Lysol and like I don't know. It was this
Wow.
crazy contraption. And I was just like, I mean, I guess by you know, whatever you gotta do, whatever you gotta do.
Because people's brain goes somewhere like special, I guess. I wanted to get your hours right now, and then also
Okay.
I want to know what's your ideal platter or what's your ideal meal at 2M?
Yeah. So our hours of operation right now at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Those are Thursday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Or if we sell out before then we'll go ahead and shut it down then.
Which days are you selling out quicker?
You know what, man? This since the beginning of this year, it's been really great. Obviously, Saturdays reign supreme. Sundays reign supreme. Sundays are starting to overtake Saturdays.
Wow.
Thursday, believe it or not, I would say our weakest day is probably Friday.
So that
Yeah,
would be
our
like a
weakest day.
day. So if people came a little bit later on that day, they could get
They
more
should be
food.
fine.
Okay.
Not only that, but you can always call us. You can always call us or text us, like
Okay.
right before you leave your house. Like if you're curious to see what we have left, Izzy will answer the phone for the most part, unless we're busy. And she'll let you know exactly what we have left,
Oh, cool.
if it's worth you bringing, you know, making the trip out. If you want to place a pre-order, you could also do that.
Okay,
You know what I
I'll put
mean?
the
So
number
like,
below.
yeah. So like, I always tell people like, you can make day in advance pre-orders. You
Okay.
come around back and you text us that you're here, and we'll make it for you, and we take it out.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, that's great. That's a great tip. And then what's your ideal? What are you eating right now? What are you really like digging at your restaurant?
Not brisket.
Even though it's
No,
spectacular, but
I
yeah.
think probably my favorite thing to eat right now is carne guisada. I would say macaroni and carne guisada cup. So I like to combine the macaroni and the carne guisada, and I'll put some pico de gallo in there, and that's one of my things I like to eat. I'm not gonna say every day, but every chance I get, I will. Or like a little fold over. But for people, I would say something fun to get at 2M would probably be a pork serrano sausage, turkey, pork ribs, and for sides, I would do macaroni, carne guisada, and then as a dessert, if she has strawberry pistachio, always go for the strawberry pistachio.
Wow. How often is that? Is that almost every week?
Yeah, so she'll have it every week, but I know she changes her menu based off of the season, so she'll change it up. I think we still have it, or I think she's getting ready to bring it. But
Okay.
I would always recommend that, whether it's in tart form or cheesecake form. Strawberry pistachio is my favorite. And then we have agua frescas, and they're constantly rotating every
Oh,
week. So like
cool.
and the wife makes those as well. So she'll make them, and so I would just go in there and see what flavors we have for that week, and I would say swoop up one of those as well.
I didn't know you had those. Oh, that's awesome. I love
We
those.
just we just, so a buddy of mine by the name of Luis Rivas, his uncle has. I guess his uncle has a company that does agua fresca machines or whatever. So he was going he was going back to Mexico and he couldn't take it with him. So he left it with me. And he's like, hey, just hang on to it until I get it back from you. So I'm just waiting for him to come and pick it up. And in the meantime, I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to make agua fresca.
Yeah, come in, scoop in. And it's, you know, it's going to get warm pretty quick. So that's awesome to have too. That's so delicious.
I'm really excited about that. Well, not only that, but we've always wanted to make it at the restaurant. And we didn't have any spot to put it in. And now we do. And the machine's not that big. So we get to just make different flavors every week. And we'll just go to the store. We'll pick out what kind of fruit we want, what blends well with what. What we want to experiment with, and then we just make it into agua
fresca. Is the machine, does it churn it? Is that how it works?
Yeah. So it'll keep it mixed. It'll keep it mixing and it'll keep it cold. So that's
nice. Oh, it keeps it cold too. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so cool. Then all we got to do is just make it and then pour it in there and then we're good to go. It's not out of a bag though. So that's really nice.
That's really nice. Yeah, of course. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and for sharing all this. There's a lot of new information. It's not just new since 5 years, but new from the last year or year and a half. So it's cool. There's exciting. Is there anything that you want people to know that we haven't talked about?
Yeah. I guess just, we do have a food truck now too. It's downtown at a food truck park called Besame. That's open Thursday through Sunday. From Thursday and Friday, we're open 4 to sell out. And then Saturday and Sunday, we're open noon to sold out. Right now, we're just offering barbecue, like a limited barbecue. We do nachos and like hot dogs. But I'm getting ready to revamp the whole entire menu on it. So it's going to be it's going to be barbecue, but it's just going to be different. So just keep out on the lookout for that.
Okay. How far away is that from your location?
That's about 10-15 okay. minutes.
Okay. And it's, so called, it's at the best. Is that mean kiss or something?
It's called
Besame. Besame. So that means kiss me or something?
It means kiss me.
Okay. So it's a bunch of different like food trucks?
So right now there was 2 of us and now there's 4 of us in there. He can't cram any more in there, but then again, who knows? He might try. Okay. But it is called Besame. He's the same owner as El Camino, which is another food truck park right down the road. But it's a really cool little area that we're in, and it's slowly growing. There's some cool restaurants there, some cool bars there. And as soon as construction is done, it's really going to come to life.
So is it called 2M or is it something else?
It's called 2M for now. And then we're getting ready to change the name.
Okay. So keep your eyes open for that.
So keep your eyes open for that. Yeah.
So because you guys have an Instagram, so follow the Instagram, right?
For
the information, for like updates, like Instagram's the best way. Is that the 2M, best way? Yeah.
2M Smokehouse, right? 2M Smokehouse Facebook, on I guess, Instagram, yeah. Facebook. I'm not on Facebook anymore. Like I just got off of it. I was like, man, this is whatever. but it syncs to it. So whatever I post on Instagram, it'll sync to Facebook and stuff. So if you really want to reach us or if you want to know more, I'll just pay attention to our Instagram.
Okay.
And then we should have new Instagrams for the new businesses coming soon as well.
And Baked has its own as well as a TikTok, right?
Baked has its own Instagram, its own TikTok as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I'll put links to all that below. But thank you so much. This has been great. It's been just nice to catch up. Awesome. Well, have a good one. And say hi to the wife as you refer. Say hi to your wife. And have a great day.
You got it, my man. Right, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it too.
You got it, brother.